You're back for another episode of Paper Route. I'm Corey Holmes, and I got Ashley Nicole Mars with me, and I got Brandon Marshall with me. How we doing?
Doing good. Put the camera on Ashley, please. Put the camera on Ashley. She's still doing her makeup.
No, I'm putting on lip gloss. This is not doing makeup.
Ashley,
this is lip gloss.
Literally 10 seconds ago, you had some type of brush.
Oh, that was a mascara brush.
Is that makeup?
I guess it counts. I don't have any outside of that. I just have mascara and lip gloss on today. I feel like I've worn enough makeup this past week, so I'm good.
Well, we started this conversation yesterday with Corey about, you know, skincare and male grooming.
For sure.
Who has the better skincare routine, you or Ashley Nicole Moss?
I mean,
what do you mean? Look at his skin. His skin is popping.
I can imagine she probably got it down to a science.
I have a 6-step routine.
Right. Yeah. Mine's lacking steps.
Yeah, I mean, what'd you say you
used
yesterday?
I think I just got one step. I went back and looked at it. It's the clean and clear.
Dual moisturizer.
Yeah, I mean,
clean and clear.
I would never put that on my face. That was high school when I didn't know no better.
Hey, but if it works, it works.
Hold on, really quick. We talked about exfoliating your lips. I did it last night.
How do you feel?
Yeah.
Do you feel a difference?
They look different. They popping today. Yesterday, I don't know. I think I was dehydrated.
Could have been it.
That could have been it too.
Yeah, I think I was dehydrated. But what we got, Corey?
Exfoliating your lips is dope.
Yeah, we gotta get into the show. So, you know, today we got. But you know what? I'm not even gonna preview anything. How about we just get right into it? The Lakers and Clippers last night.
Ooh.
The Lakers might have folded. I don't know.
Might have.
We'll see what happens with that. So the Clippers are now 11-0 against the Lakers in the last 11 games that they've played. And like I was mentioning yesterday was a very important game. So the Clippers, of course, they kind of solidified that fifth seed. But now the Lakers, you know, they got an important stretch ahead of them. They're in a situation where they have to win more games than the Warriors in their last two in order to avoid making the play-in. So it's basically like a battle for the sixth seed. So the Lakers, they have to beat the Suns and the Jazz. And the Golden State Lakers got the Kings and the Trailblazers.
Golden State Lakers?
What did I say?
Golden State Lakers. What team is that?
That's crazy. No, I thought I had went to the next team.
Nah, you said
team.
Golden
said,
State Lakers. We
yeah, the Lakers got the Suns and the Jazz. And I said the Golden State Lakers. That's what it was. The Golden State Warriors have the Kings and the Trailblazers. Now, basically, whoever gets the most wins. Now, if they tie the same amount of wins, then standings, you know, they stay as is. The Warriors are 6. Lakers are 7.
Corey, you're confusing me. What's
Am
happening?
I? What, yeah. Yo, it's the plan. the plan gets confusing.
Just tell me what's happening.
The plan gets confusing. I was trying to lay it out
break,
for you.
Break it down for him in layman's terms.
Yeah, don't confuse me even more.
So look. Right now, the standings are as such. Clippers are 5.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors are 6.
Mm-hmm.
Lakers are 7.
Mm-hmm.
Pelicans are 8.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys, this is more about the
Pelicans
Lakers and the Warriors.
Pelicans did win last night in overtime against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
So... They're
all right, what's the question?
Handling business.
Let's get to
it. Man, what the Lakers going to do? How are they going to finish out these last two games? They have to win two games, and Golden State has to lose a game in order for them to avoid the play-in.
They're not avoiding the play-in. Last night was their shot, and as I thought, I mean, I was surprised that AD and Bron played that entire the entire game to begin with, seeing how it was a back-to-back. The game prior to that against the Jazz came down to the wire. But, you know, like you guys pointed out, a lot was on the line, so they played. But like I said, those back-to-backs, especially those ones that come down to the wire and then having to get on a plane, take a lot out of you. AD has not been consistent all season. And he was not consistent last night. 17 points was not going to cut it, especially when Kawhi dropped over 20. Norman Powell went off. Russell Westbrook had 17, 18 of his own. Everybody contributed on that team. The Lakers just did not have enough firepower. And the concern about that is it's great when you're able to go ahead and produce wins like they did against the Jazz. That's a great win. Came down to the wire, like I said. But in a playoff series, you need to be able to do that consistently. There are going to be times when you're not going to get ample rest. You play a game, you get on a plane, the next day you have another game, and they just have not been consistent enough for me to believe that this is a team that can really make some noise in the playoffs. They're not avoiding the play-in. Too much has to go right in order for them to make that happen.
Right.
I don't really know what the expectations are. I know a lot of people said they're going to win the whole thing. Mm. I don't know how you can make that assessment looking at this team.
Yeah. Listen, I'm always going to be honest with everyone. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the game. But I did read the stat sheet.
Yeah.
And there was something that jumped out that was alarming to me, Ashley. Because we talked about this yesterday. It was a big debate between you and I. Will LeBron and AD play? Mm-hmm. Right? Corey, you brought up a stat. You know, AD, how many back-to-backs he's played over his career and then also this year. I think this was the first back-to-back he's played in, Corey.
Yeah, it was.
Right, so it was a big conversation. I said they will play. You said, well, for you, it was questionable.
They were a game time decision.
Right.
And
look, you were right. You went with, see, if you're a betting woman, which I'm going to convince Ashley by the end of this year to get into betting. I'm going to get you into betting. All right. But if you were a betting woman, you would have actually won.
I know.
Because you picked the Clippers and I picked the Lakers to win.
I know.
It was an okay game from the highlights that I watched. But the alarming stat was this in the box score. Kawhi Leonard, Mr. Rest, load management.
Not the Mr. king load of load management.
Okay? He played 43 minutes. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know why he played 43 minutes?
There was no Paul George.
He played 43 minutes because it's game time, right? Like, it's time. We're close to the playoffs. It's time to go. That's what competitors do. They know when to turn it on, when they're supposed to turn it on. LeBron James, and he's an old guy. LeBron James, 35 minutes. AD, this is the alarming stat for me. Only 32 minutes. The game's on the line. What are we doing?
I mean, I didn't expect ample time from AD. Again, he's coming off a back-to-back. He has not been consistent. He's been slightly injury-prone. But in 32 minutes, you should be able to put up more than 17 points.
Come on, man. Like, yeah. Do we have the clutch gene or not? Do we have the killer instinct or not? Do we want to win a championship or not? I don't care if it's the NBA or I don't care if it's the blacktop at the YMCA. All competitors know this. When the game's on the line, give me the rock. Nobody else is getting the ball. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming out. How many times have you seen players at all phases, at all levels, shoe off the coach? No, you're not taking me out right now. Or go to a coach and say, no, I'm guarding him. He's the hot guy. The game's on the line. I'm guarding him. I didn't see that in the stat sheet, and I didn't see that from the highlights that I watched, that AD is taking this shit serious. And I'm not trying to bash AD. I just, like, come on, man. I just love guys to compete. I love guys taking advantage of the moment, and I didn't see that.
I mean, I don't know what you expected from him. He has not been consistent all season, and it's been problematic because the consistency is necessary for their longevity, for their productivity, especially when LeBron was out. And now that you're coming down the stretch, the game is only going to get harder. The playoffs is a different beast. The game slows down. It's more physical. He just has not been able to produce the consistency. And I've always said, when AD is at his best, he's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But you get that in such small increments throughout the season that it's hard to utilize that skill set that he very much so has at his best because it's such up and down play from him. And I don't know how anybody can go ahead. And as great as LeBron James is, I don't know how you can go ahead and have high expectations for this team when an intricate part of their success and their productivity on the court, Anthony Davis, who the offense runs through, is inconsistent. That takes a big chunk away from your game, and I don't know how they overcome that when other teams in the West are really starting to click on all cylinders. So, and then on top of that, Darvin Ham keeps them in. Your starters in fresh off of a 100-plus game in Utah, traveling. You're down 15 points. And why are your starters still in the game? It just is a lot of things that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
So are you ready to give us your playoff bracket yet?
No, Corey gave it to me. And when the games are almost over, there's like two or three games left. before the play-in starts, a few days later, I will have my bracket of what I think the playoffs are going to look like. I have to wait for the final seedings to get solidified because there's still some things being worked out.
I didn't know you were a woman of excuses. Like, I've been asking you for 2 weeks to give me this early prediction. And you keep saying, I need more time.
I'm not going to give you an early prediction. I need to know where everyone's seated in the playoffs. I'm not going to make...
Tell us.
No.
Predict.
I am not predicting.
That's what makes it even better. Ashley Nicole Moss said it before everybody else said it.
I can't. I got to wait till the playoff picture completely irons out.
So what we have, you said 2 to 3 more games?
2 or 3.
So
I think
another week?
I think the Suns have 3 and everyone else, I believe, has 2.
Well, give us your early prediction. Who's going to be the 6 seed? Is it going to be the Warriors or is it going to be the Lakers?
It's going to be the Warriors.
Yeah. I guess you did kind of make that.
Okay.
Yeah. That decision earlier. All right. Well, you guys want to move on from the NBA? We good on the NBA?
Outside of Joel Embiid being the MVP, we can move on, which I told Ashley. You can't respond to any.
I'm not.
All right. All right. So, look, yesterday, guys, Cam Newton, right, our guy Cam Newton explained in a video on his YouTube page that he feels there still aren't 32 quarterbacks better than him. However, he goes on to say that he is still open with being a backup. Let's actually look at the clip from the video. All right, so look, then he goes on to list the quarterbacks that he feels he can back up. So he starts with Deshaun Watson, and he says Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, Tua Tagovailoa, Malik Willis. And then he also mentions the three, you know, top quarterbacks come out of the draft this year, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson. Then he lists Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Sam Howell, the quarterback for the Washington Commanders. Ashley. Brandon, yeah. Is Cam Newton's head now in the right spot? Like, what do you make of this list here?
Well, first, I mean, before we answer that, I mean, I have a question for Brandon, and I wish D-Jack was here so I could ask him the same thing. But, I mean, it's interesting because Cam went from being on the side of I'm a starter,
yep,
and not willing to play the backup role because he said it was, in so many words, it was beneath him. And I think back to Carmelo Anthony when he was with the Houston Rockets and they asked him, he had the hoodie on, and they said, who come off the bench? Me? I ain't coming off the bench.
Right.
And I wonder, as an athlete, you know, Carmelo spoke about this in an interview that he did, and I don't remember the publication, but he basically talks about when being out of the league forced him to reevaluate what he was expecting the league to give him in return, and how difficult that conversation was. And I wonder, from a football standpoint, how hard is it to go from a starter and being adamant about being a starter, being out of the league, having an opportunity or a possible opportunity to return, and having that conversation with yourself like, I may have to be a backup now. Like, how hard is it to make that transition when being a starter is all you've ever known?
Right. It's everything. It's one of the hardest things because it's your identity. You know, we talk about this all the time. You've sat with a ton of athletes over the last few years in your career, and I'm sure transition and retirement have come up, right, in some of these conversations. It's hard because it's our identity for a lot of us, right? And that's why a lot of our athletes, even entertainers, struggle is because they grow up doing one thing their entire life. And then it's taken away from you just like that. Now you're faced with this question in a reality, like, who am I? What do I have? What am I going to do? So when you take a superstar like a Cam Newton and you're saying you are Superman, and you've been put on this pedestal your entire life, and now all of a sudden, Carmelo, I'm so glad you brought up Carmelo, because doesn't this remind you of the Carmelo?
Yeah, exactly like it.
You know, couple of years,
the NFL landscape, but yeah, for sure.
So it's extremely difficult for our superstars to go from, you know, being the face of a franchise to now saying I'm a backup and I'm gonna hold a clipboard, right? So this is Cam Newton doing exactly what Carmelo Anthony had to do. He had to go out there publicly and say, no, I'm willing to be the sixth man. No, I'm willing to come off the bench. But also, you know this, athletes are also strategic and smart. Carmelo Anthony was also probably looking at situations like, yeah, I can get in this situation and still be Carmelo Anthony, right? Mm-hmm. Cam Newton's doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Do you really think, let me pull up this list right now. Do you think Cam Newton really want to back up Aaron Rodgers? No. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to sniff the field unless it's an injury, mm-hmm. which is a big if, right? Because injury is inevitable in the NFL. But, man, you're talking about a guy that's been hurt 3 times in his career. He pretty much plays all the time. You don't want to back up him. You don't want to back up Anthony Richardson. Why? Because he's the face of the franchise. He's you. He's the new Superman.
He'd be a rookie, though.
Mm-hmm. Don't matter.
Rookies have growing pains.
But yes, they do. But what's not going to happen is a team go out there and break their rookie. They're not going to go out there and say, here you go, Anthony Richardson. All right, then you have 3 bad games, and they pull it away from you. Why? Because they're investing in you in the long term and your potential.
We've seen it happen, though. They did it with Tua.
When?
When Tua got to the Miami Dolphins, every time he made a mistake, they would pull him and start Fitzpatrick in his place.
And what happened,
It messed up his confidence.
And what happened? The whole offensive staff was fired. And then what happened? Why do you think this head coach was gone? There was other things happening, but it came down to Tua.
Yes.
You had the owner for the Miami Dolphins that wanted Tua, and the head coach that didn't, Brian Flores. Mm-hmm. Gone, out of there. But you all right. It happened with Zach as well for a little bit. Zach was pulled.
In some retrospect, it happened with Trey Lance.
But you don't want, no, it didn't happen with Trey.
Trey got hurt. I'm sorry, he got hurt. I'm sorry, I'm thinking Justin Fields.
So
did it happen with Justin Fields? He didn't start right away.
No, it's not. I'm talking about put him in and pull him out. Like, can't do that. You can't play that game with a face of your franchise.
Got
you
it.
Just can't do that. So I don't think that Cam Newton wants to back up Anthony Richardson. I don't think he wants to back up Bryce Young. I don't think he wants to back up C.J. Stroud. You know who I think Cam has his eyes on? Sam Howell. Come on, Sam. You think Sam, who, I don't even know. Who is Sam Howell? For real, seriously, can somebody give me an update on who Sam Howell is? Tua. I think he has his eyes on Tua.
Really?
Right? Yeah, and it's, and I'm always going to say this. You know, it's a big deal. Head injuries, trauma, all of that, it's a big thing. And I'm sending nothing but good energy to Tua. But, man, that's a big deal to have 3 concussions in 1 year. He's a concussion away from missing a year or maybe retiring. Cam Newton's probably looking at, man, I can go out there and that's a perfect situation. Not a perfect situation. It could be a good situation for
him. I'm surprised by the names on that list of Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Obviously, Lamar's having his issues with the Ravens. And from a chemistry standpoint of, like, being homies,
it's cat.
It'd be dope. But, like, bro, like, they're the 2.0 version of you. Like,
no,
you're never going to play.
It's cap. He don't want to back them up. Mm-hmm. Cam is sitting here looking at this list. There's 3 people on this list. Cam's like, that's where I want to go because I know I'll probably play. And Cam, as a competitor, as Superman, is thinking, when I get on the field, I ain't giving the ball back. That's what he's thinking. That's what competitors think. Yep. You don't think Carmelo thought the same thing? Once I get back on the court, I'll come off the bench. But then when I drop 30 on you, you got
to
play me.
So then he hasn't really come to terms with the possibility of he's no longer a starter. He's just willing to
play the game.
Play that game to get what he wants, which is to be a starter. So he hasn't really come to terms with the fact that he's probably no longer a starter in the NFL.
Well, think about what he said. Go back to the video. You don't have to play it, Mandeville, but go back to the video. He said, what? There ain't 32 better than me. So what does that mean? I am a starter.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if he came out and said, you know what? I'm in a place in my career where, you know, backing up one of these young guys and giving them everything I know is probably the best way I can help any team be successful, win a championship. So I'm going to go in, I'm going to be the best backup that this league has ever seen. That's a different tone. That's a different type of, you know, approach. Now, Cam came out. Look at the outfit. You know what I'm saying? Fly. He's always fly, though.
The hat.
You pull up on Cam on Atlanta, like, yo, Cam, let's go get some coffee. Meet me over here. Okay, no problem. He coming with his stogie, and he coming fully dressed. Like, Cam, we just getting coffee, bro. No, this is what it is. Cam, let's go work out. Cam got a whole fit on, and then he got all his workout stuff in the bag. So look at him, can't fly. But here's the thing, though, man. Cam, the approach is a little bit different. I'm excited for Cam. You know, he's in this phase where he has to decide, you know, if he's going to play and how he's going to play. If he gets the opportunity, you know, he got a little bit left. He got a little bit left. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. If he gets in the right situation, he got a little bit left, and I think it'll be a great story. It'll be fun to watch. We seen it when he went back to Carolina. Remember he went back to Carolina? Did
that, you not tune in? It was fun for a moment.
Right. We all was tuning in like, oh, man.
And then it went downhill very quickly.
Was it quick?
It was quick. Okay. It was like, what? It was like 2 weeks of Cam back. When he went into camera, I'm back. And then it was like 2 weeks later, it was like, this is not what we thought it was going to be.
All right, so really quick, before we move on, does Cam play again?
If it were just on talent, yes.
Come on, Ashley, just stop doing I'm all saying, of that political
I'm,
stuff.
I'm going to say no only because I think the NFL is politics, and I think Cam has a reputation, super talented, but not worth, in their mind, everything that comes with him. And I think that at this stage of the game, him being no longer a starter,
yeah,
teams are less likely to put up with it. When you are a Lamar Jackson... Not that Lamar has the same personality, but if Lamar Jackson had the personality of Cam Newton, a team would deal with it right away because it's the talent.
Right.
And that's why when Cam was in Carolina and when he was, you know, in his prime, you were willing to deal with all the extra things that came around it that some people, I personally don't mind it, that some people minded. Right. But now that you're older and you're no longer that guy, why should I deal with the fact that not only are you no longer that guy, but I still got to deal with all of that?
Right, right, right.
I think that's going to be the wall that he's going to hit with the NFL.
Yeah.
Because it's not a talent thing.
Right. And Corey, this is what we have to understand, right? Like, there's some players, and it's not all players. Some players can transition into that backup role. Some players can transition into the guy that was getting the bulk of the work or the load and pause, and then going into a position. I got to say it. What I gotta say?
I wasn't even thinking that.
Some players can make that transition into not being the guy or the girl, right? And so, some general managers and head coaches and owners look at superstars. Superstars, you either superstar or you don't play, right? I think there's going to be a situation out there that a coach has a real conversation with Cam and say, Cam, we're going to do this. But you're a backup, right? Mm. And if you get your opportunity, I'm going to have the perfect package for you. And whatever coach does that is a smart coach, because we've seen it year in and year out. A team is riding high. A team is playing well. And then all of a sudden, your starter go down. And now you go from being the first seed to now you the third seed. Now you go from getting a bye to now you got to play wild card weekend. Now you go from being on a 5-6 game winning streak to now you're on a 3-4-5 game losing streak, right? The most valuable position to me on a roster is the backup quarterback, if you have a good roster. And Cam Newton, would you not want Cam Newton as your backup?
I'll take him in Dallas.
But I don't like the
– Oh,
like,
I have Cooper Rush. Oh, I can't take him in Dallas.
Any good team, any contender should be looking at Cam as a backup. Any good team, any contender should be looking at Cam Newton as a backup. The most valuable position on a contending roster is the backup quarterback. We seen it last year. They were able to hold it down. Gardner Minshew had to come in and relieve, Jalen Hurts. He was able to hold it down just for a little bit. We've seen this year in and year out. Your quarterback can go down any minute, and that's the worst thing in the world is having your quarterback go down. And then all of a sudden you look over and you got, give me a name, a quarterback.
Dak Prescott.
No, I ain't going to throw nobody in the bus. But then you got this slap sitting there warming up. You're like, man, we ain't got no chance. And then you go into the new week, Ashley. You're in a new week. Now you got a whole week to prepare. Don't nobody got juice in the building with that backup quarterback if he ain't no good. They're like, man, we ain't got no chance. We going against Aaron Rodgers. We ain't got no chance. We going against Lamar Jackson. You know you don't have a chance. So,
hey, man, I had Cooper Rush magic, so I'm good.
Cooper Rush, but you was nervous. I remember this.
I wasn't just nervous. I was shitting bricks.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, I walked into that season, and I was feeling good, and I was like, hell yeah. You know, we almost beat the Bucks the season before opening, and I'm like, yo, it's a new season. We here. Dak's healthy. I got my guys. It's go time, baby. I swear to God, when Dak went down, I said, why does God hate us? Why is God God, not a Cowboys fan.
Right.
And then when it was like, when it came back how long Dak was going to be out, I said,
it's over.
We did something. Jerry did something in his past life to piss off the universe, because this is just not making sense. Cooper Rush came out. He started slinging that ball. And I said, okay.
Yeah,
this might not be too bad. We win one. Wait. I said, okay, we got a win. We win another one. I said, oh, it's go time. Let's go, Cooper Rush. I almost bought a Cooper Rush jersey and everything. I was feeling it.
And what happened? Remember, all you guys had the juice back. The energy was back. And it put the Cowboy Nation in a dilemma.
A frenzy. No, time out.
There was no
time
conversation.
No,
should we even
real,
let that come back?
No real Cowboys fan was having that conversation. That was a hot take that people were throwing at that. Do the Cowboys need Dak? And is Cooper Rush the starter? Mm-hmm. Cooper Rush is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. Be for real. Like, I get it. He had a great couple of games, but that was one of the most asinine conversations I heard that season. Like, be for real. Okay. Come on now.
All right, so we're going to move on, but how about we just stay on the topic of excuse me.
Wait, real quick, we got a shout out. We got over 500 people in the chat today watching the show live. I feel like we should take some questions at some point in the show.
Yeah,
let's do it. Can we do that, Nagin and JP?
Yeah, if y'all have questions, definitely drop them in the chat, and we'll answer them later on in the show.
And I just want to say thank you guys for coming back and rocking with Paper Route. You know, it's a new show for us. We're 6 weeks in. You know, we're doing some good things. We have some challenges that we're working through, but we're doing it together. So make sure that you continue to send in your comments and all your suggestions. Haters are welcome.
They are.
It makes the conversation better.
It does.
Right? Indeed. It makes the conversation. I love when I see people talk about me in the chat. Yeah. You talk too much. You cut off Ashley too much.
I cut off Brandon. We cut off each other. Yeah. Why are they yelling? Why does she talk so much with her hands? Why does her head move so much?
Love you guys.
So, yeah, no, definitely. Ask us questions. So, yeah, as I was saying, we're going to stay on the conversation of quarterbacks, right? So, with the help of SpotTrack.com, we're going to take a look at the projected market value for a few quarterbacks next in line for contract extensions, right? So, if we take a look at the graphic that we have, you'll notice that the majority of the quarterbacks on this list are from the 2020 draft class, with the exception of Lamar Jackson. So really projected to bring in the most money right now, you'll see Jalen Hurts, right? 6 years, $265 million, with an annual average value of around 44.2. And you got Joe Burrow, around $44 million a year. You got Justin Herbert projected to make $42.4 million a year. And then you got Lamar Jackson projected to make 40.7. Now, this list is in order, of course, in value of contract. But what I wanted to point out, right, is that all four of these quarterbacks are projected to make less than $50 million a year, right? You got Aaron Rodgers, he's making $50 million a year. You got Russell Wilson, $48 million a year. Kyler Murray, $46 million a year. So I wanted to ask you guys, Brandon, I'll start with you. Are these quarterbacks worth more than $50 million a year, all of them?
Absolutely. And I got to be very careful with my words right now, because this could turn into a Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson type debate, value, et cetera, et cetera. Ashley, please listen to what I'm saying right now.
Okay.
All right. Because we got caught up in this whole thing around Deshaun. Why was he, and you weren't hating, or Corey wasn't hating, but it was like, well, why did he get what he got? Mm-hmm. And my whole thing is that because he's a quarterback. And when a quarterback, whether you are, you know, number one that year or number seven that year, you dictate the terms when you're available. So when I look at this list, right, and you talk about, are these quarterbacks deserving of, you said $50 million a year or more than what they're, projection?
Spot track
got them here? This is too low. You tell me, Kyler Murray is making, it's going to make $46 million $46 million this year. Can we throw that graphic back up? You mean to tell me Lamar Jackson? Oh, my goodness. This is so disrespectful. Why they keep disrespectful? Not even here do they have Lamar, like, even close to his value. But you don't think Lamar Jackson should be paid more than Kyler Murray? Even Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow can reset the whole market.
Yeah.
$44 million? Now, I can see this happening with Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts because they're still young and they may come out and say, you know what, I'm going to take a little bit less so I can keep the guys around me. We still have to pay Smith. We still have to pay Joe Burrow's looking at T. Higgins. He's looking at Jamar Chase.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So this is disrespectful. All these quarterbacks should be pushing to $50 million because on the open market, they're going to reset the market.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, you have thoughts on this one?
I mean, yeah, I think open market resets the market. I agree with Brandon. I think obviously it's going to be interesting to see who gets paid, how much they get paid, because going back to the Deshaun Watson thing, I think that has scared a lot of NFL owners into even having conversations with quarterbacks, because that is going to be the gauge for a lot of these guys, whether they like it or not. Mm-hmm. The minute that was paid to him, it reset the market. And that is now the starting point, the jumping board for all these other quarterbacks that are looking to get paid. They're looking at him mm-hmm. and saying, well, he was out of the league for a year. He got paid that. This is what I did while he was out. This is what I have done since then. This is what I want. Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting what, you know, negotiations and things like that look like when it's time for these quarterbacks to start getting paid. Mm-hmm. Because I truly think that NFL owners are extremely shook about where this market is headed and what these guys are looking to get paid.
Yeah, I'm excited to see like which quarterback gets extended first and what that actual contract looks like. But guys, guess what? We got questions from the people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yay.
This might be the best part of our show.
Honestly.
I like questions.
No, this first question is actually, it should be a good one.
Oh, Lord.
Can Cam play tight end?
Ooh. Yes, Cam can play tight end. But again, it goes back to the same thing that we talked about. You're asking a guy, a superstar, you know, that's won MVP in this league to go from starting to backup, that's hard. And now you're going to ask him to play tight end?
A whole different position.
Yeah, that's impossible. But yes, he can play tight end. Yes, he can play safety. Yes, he can play, you know, I'm not going to say slot. I can see him playing tight end in a safety position, strong safety position for sure. He's an athlete. He's a
Cam Newton at safety would be crazy. That'd be a large human at safety.
All right, Corey, what else you got?
All right, next one. Should Cam go to Buffalo and back up Josh Allen?
I think the Bills, I know nothing has really come out and the speculation, and we're just kind of, you know, using, or I'm just kind of using what, you know, you witnessed on the sidelines during the playoffs to kind of make a prediction, a hypothesis, if you will. I don't think Cam needs to be there because I think there's a lot going on there already. Mm-hmm. I don't think they need another distraction. I don't think they need somebody coming in, you know, with this large personality. They need to figure out what's wrong, why they can't get over the hump as a unit. I don't think you need to bring anybody else into that equation because they have some issues there. Josh mm-hmm. Allen, Stephon Diggs, got to get on the same page. He clearly seems to be very unhappy, as you saw on the sidelines during that game against the Bengals. They got to figure out what the roadblock is, and they can't do that with new pieces coming into the mix. They got to leave that situation alone.
Yeah, and let's make sure I want to know who we're talking to. Where are you guys from? What's mm-hmm. your name? Please, I need to know your name and where you're from. So when you
I got a name for our next question.
Okay, thank you so much.
Cam to Buffalo, what you think?
Cam to Buffalo. I don't like Cam to Buffalo because mm-hmm. if I'm Cam and I'm strategic, I'm trying to find a situation that I can sneak my way into the starting lineup through injury or a guy performing bad, right? So there's some guys out there, the Commanders, Miami, you know, where guys could potentially go down or they can play bad. I'm not saying Tua's going to play bad. Actually, Tua, he was one of the best quarterbacks last year, like super efficient. I mean, the dude was just on point, and that's why it's so unfortunate the way things transpired last year with him and his head. And hopefully, you know, we don't see that happen again, right? Because you want our guys to be safe. Like, I'm okay with guys going down with an ankle, a knee, hell, ACL, hip. I'm cool with all that. Broken bones, that's what comes with it. And also, the head injuries come with it as well, but that could be mm-hmm. life-changing. You know, you don't want that, right?
I think Cam as a star, I mean, because last time I checked, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they have a quarterback yet. If they don't go after Lamar, Cam in Atlanta could be cool, man.
Also, Cam in Baltimore.
I think Atlanta. Oh, Atlanta. Well, Atlanta's one of those teams right now that kind of is like you don't have too high expect. They're like a middle of the road team right now.
No, they like their quarterback, and I was out there with them a couple.
Who's their quarterback again?
What's his name?
We're talking about Atlanta, right?
Yeah,
Riddler, Desmond Riddler.
They like him, he may be like that. I'm telling you guys right now.
Yeah, you don't want Cam in Atlanta as a backup because that's too much attention. He's from there; it's a lot. Yeah, if he's not the starter, he can't go. Yeah.
I can see Cam Newton going to Baltimore. That could be a good fit. They set up the team already for a guy like that. You know, I think Lamar is more dynamic at this point of his career, but it could be good because if Lamar's going out, you put Cam in, great backup, and then he could potentially see himself in the starting lineup.
What are the optics of that, though?
You had the general manager come out yesterday and say that we're open to taking a quarterback in the first round. It's not off the table. So that shows exactly where Lamar and the Baltimore Ravens are at.
Well, to stay on Cam, we got another question. Demetrius Du asked, should Cam be open to playing in the XFL to build up his reps and come back to the NFL stronger?
No.
Hey, XFL has been playing some good football, though. I've peeped some of those games. I like the storylines in them. You see some guys who kind of got lost in the mix in the NFL, and they're getting some, you know, new life in the XFL. It's not terrible football, so I don't know if that's – it's not like a drastic decline, but I don't know if Cam would be willing to do that.
All right, I got another one. This is from TJ Strickland. Is Jalen Hurts a top five quarterback in the league?
Number two.
Top five quarterback? I said he is currently right. Yeah, because for me it would go Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, probably Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen would be like my five if I had to round them out. So, yeah, it's top five for sure.
All right, I want to be clear here. Two different conversations. One question. So top five quarterback. I'm a general manager. I could pick from anybody in the league. He may not make the top five. But when we look at what have you done for me lately? He's number two. He's number two. Two different conversations. A guy could be the MVP 1 year and he can flame out the next year. What's his name? Jamal Murray in a bubble. Jamal Murray in a bubble. He could have been MVP, lights out, 40 every other night. And then all of a sudden, the next 2 years, where is he at, right? So two different conversations. Ashley Nicole Moss and I have this conversation all the time, right? We got to look at what have you done for me lately? So Jalen Hurts right now is number two. He was in the Super Bowl, had a phenomenal year. But if you're sitting back as a general manager and you ask me the question, hey, Brandon, who are you picking with the number one overall pick, or who are you trading for? You got Patrick Mahomes out there. You have Aaron Rodgers still out there. You have Josh Allen. You have Lamar Jackson. You have Joe Burrow. You have Justin Herbert. You have so many other guys out there. I really like Jalen. And right now he's number two off of the what have you done for me lately side of it. And then as far as the global conversation, he's probably seven.
All right. Well, you ready to get messy?
You okay there? Why you sit up?
I never want to have that this conversation with him ever again. I swear I don't.
I think it's too complex.
This question to make us sit up. Brandon, Cutler or Fitzpatrick?
Oh.
Tank wants to know Cutler or Fitzpatrick.
Where is Tank from?
I don't think we got a location.
Why does it matter? Answer the question.
Give me a situation, Ashley.
Okay. Game's on the line, 20-yard line.
That was literally what I was thinking.
It's 60 seconds left on the clock. Which quarterback do you want?
Give me another situation.
Nope. Which quarterback you taking? Tough. Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Game's on the line.
You're at 20-yard line, 60 seconds left on the clock. You have to get a touchdown and win. A field goal is not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. Which quarterback are you taking? Jay Cutler,
this is tough because,
Ryan Fitzpatrick?
We've seen both of these quarterbacks, you know, throughout their career make big plays in those moments and also make terrible plays in those moments, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's 50-50 there with guys being able to take advantage of that clutch moment. I think where Ryan Fitzpatrick has the advantage is up here. And Jay Cutler is super smart. That's why it's always said when I think about our career and our journey together. Because when I talk about, when you talk about arm talent, dude is special. You talk about him being an athlete, he's special. I put Jay Cutler up there, and I ain't going to even name some names because I don't want to get flamed in the chat. But I put Jay Cutler up there with some of the greatest athletes I've ever been around. He can hit a baseball, he can play golf, he can dunk the basketball, he can shoot, he can do everything, right? So from an athlete perspective, next level, hell, you can put him on the defensive side. He grew up playing safety. And then from an IQ standpoint, the dude is, he's like he's super smart. A lot of, I always wanted to say genius, but that's going too far. A lot of the books that I read, the things that I do now is because of Jay Cutler. I walk into the facility, see him sitting at the cafeteria. What are you reading? You're reading a book on parenting. You're reading a book on this. You're reading a book on food. Like, he's super smart. And then even football, it just comes so natural. But then Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's next level.
So you're taking Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I'm taking Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, the chat is saying Cutler.
Nah, it ain't. Down. Let me tell you why. Because it's equal when it comes to, you know, we're in a big moment right now. Okay, you gave me the scenario. Do Ryan or Jay make the play? Yes or not? Yes or no?
Okay,
50-50.
Let me change the conversation. Let me add another layer to the conversation. Same scenario. So 20 under 60 seconds left on the clock. You're on the 20-yard line. You need a touchdown to win it. You're in the game. Which quarterback do you want? Jay Cutler or Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'm going to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Still. Okay.
Let me tell you why. 2007. We're in Denver. I want to say it may have been like, I know it was a nighttime game, so I don't know. I think it was maybe like Sunday Night Football. Playing against the Buffalo Bills. And I'm the guy. And Jay Cutler knows I'm the guy. He made me the guy. Helped me make me be the guy. And same scenario. He threw it to Brandon Stokely 3 times in a row. And I never talked to – well, the last year I talked to Jay like this. It was the first time when in our early career that I went up to him. I said, bro, don't ever do that again. So what are you doing? Like, I'm over here one-on-one. I don't give a damn. Even if it was two guys on me, throw the damn ball up. You went to Brandon Stokely, who I love. He taught me how to play the slot position. He's a legend. But we threw it to Brandon Stokely 3 times in a row. They went like blitz zero. So he was they thought they had something in the middle. Like, it's again, let's go with the play. Ain't the play. It's come on, just throw it up. Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know what I did? Like, there's a big moment we were playing for the Jets, and we had to win the last couple to get in. And we're playing against the Giants. Games on the line. And the breaking the huddle. I told Quincy, I said, Quincy, you go to X, I'm going to go to Z, because if I go to X on the short side of the field, it's easy for them to double me. I'm going to go out to the wide side of the field. We never throw fade routes to the wide side of the field. Same scenario. I'm doing all of this as we're breaking the huddle. We got 20 seconds to do this. I said, Ryan, I'm going over here. They're not going to be able to double me here. Just throw the damn fade ball. What'd he do? He threw the fade ball. We win. We win. That's why I'm going with Ryan, because Ryan's like, you know what? This is what I'm doing. I'm going to my guy. Jay Cutler was like that in a lot of ways too, but sometimes Jay, even in whether practice or games, Jay would, like, if you piss Jay off,
he would take it out on you in the game.
Let me tell you what he would do. Say something to Jay, piss him off, especially with me. I'll run a beautiful route. He'll throw it in the dirt.
He'll throw it in the dirt.
Or
Petty Cutler.
Or
Petty Cutler.
Or he knows this play is meant for me against cover one. I beat the guy. He'll throw it to the other side of the field. In practice. Eli Manning did that to me once before too. And I was like, I was playing for the Giants. We got to ask him this question. He said he's going to come on the show. I was new. I was trying to learn the timing of everything. And it was just like they had this special route. And it was all about timing. And I just couldn't get it down in the first couple of weeks. And so what he would do is he would stay on his time. He wasn't going to, you know, compromise and sit there and wait for me to get my feet right. So he would throw it in the dirt. He said, that's the timing. That's the time. He kept throwing the dirt. You get it. That's the time. That's the time. Like, damn, bro. Like, you're embarrassing me out here. But anyways, thanks. Thank you guys for taking me down memory lane.
Listen, over 650 people in the chat now. We got more questions, Corey?
Yeah, yeah. But before we hop into Fact of Foolish, I definitely want to hit you with another one. So, Ashley, this one's for you. It's from Marlon. Do you see the Knicks getting out of the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think we have a good chance. I think there's a good opportunity for – I definitely think there's a good opportunity for us. I think this is a solid team. I think we're going to match up well against the Cavs. It's going to be a dogfight. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting. I think the key factor is the kind of game we allow Donovan Mitchell to have when he comes to New York. I think when you go to Cleveland, you're going to expect some home calls, and you're playing in your own arena. And, you know, it's going to be hard to win on the road in a playoff atmosphere, especially for the Cavs, who haven't been there in a while, since the LeBron era, I believe. So you got to defend home court by any means necessary. And I think if the Knicks can do that, I think this series goes six. I think it even goes seven, depending on – you know, how, what version of the Knicks show up. If they play their game for four quarters, they play on both ends of the court, defense, offense. Julius keeps his temper under control. Quickly has a great game. Jalen Brunson has a great game. You know, everyone's firing on all cylinders. There's a good chance. So
let me ask you this question. All right. You're a big fan of Spider Mitchell. Can I, is it Spider or Spider?
Spider.
No.
Wait, okay. How does he spell it? Spider?
Spider.
Okay.
S-P-I-D-A.
I sound corny saying Spider Mitchell.
Spider Mitchell.
So you're a big fan of Spider Mitchell, and you're a big fan of Julius Randle.
I am.
Games on the line, who are you taking?
Who's Julius Randle. I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, but take the bias out of it.
Oh, you mean if I had to, like, take my own, like, if I
game
could have,
seven.
If I could have either one of them game on my seven. Team, who game, would I rather have?
Game seven.
Wait, are you asking if I could have, which one I could have on my team, who I'd rather have in a game seven scenario? Oh, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, but that's, he's not bold. A Knicks, so I'm that's going bold. Julius Randle.
That's bold. That's bold. Okay. Yeah. So you really think that the Knicks have a chance against the Cavs?
I think that there's a – it depends on what version the Knicks of the Knicks show up. If it's the Knicks that play four quarters of basketball and don't allow the game to get away from them to the point that they're playing catch-up, I think that it can be a very interesting series. Right. I think if it's the Knicks team that defends home court, I think it can. It's not going to be the wash that people think it is. The Knicks have a solid young bench. I think Tibbs' rotations are going to have to adhere to the flow of the game. He has to go in there not just thinking about the game plan he prepped with, but the game plan he's going to have to adjust with, and that's one of the strikes against him. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a wash. I think the Knicks have a good chance.
Yeah.
I think if any if you wanted any matchup for the Knicks in the first round, the two teams that they match up best with out of all the teams that are going to be in the playoffs are Philly and Cleveland. It's going to be an interesting one.
No, I agree. I think it's going to be a great series. All right, guys, let's move on. We're going to move on to our Fact or Foolish segment. So remember, I'm going to read these guys a statement. They got to determine whether it's fact or foolish, but then give their explanation why. So to start it off, and let me give you some context first. So yesterday, Ravens, the GM, Eric DaCosta, right, he was speaking to media, and a reporter had asked him a question regarding Lamar Jackson. He immediately shut it down and said he was only there to talk about the draft. Right, so my question for you guys. Baltimore Ravens draft a quarterback in the first round. Fact or foolish?
I'm not discussing this cluster F of a team anymore. I just can't. I will say, if they draft a quarterback in the first round, it's F the Baltimore Ravens for life. Like, the audacity. Like, how dare you? So I don't care. Like, that's my answer. I don't give a damn. Pay Lamar or get out my face. That's all I care about. Like,
listen, if they
but it would doing, be foolish.
If they were doing good business, I say fact.
I say foolish.
Let me tell you why. If they do good business, Lamar Jackson gets traded in the first round, right? Which gives the Baltimore Ravens more firepower to move up or be in perfect position to go get one of these younger quarterbacks, whether it's CJ Richardson. Like, I don't know what their position would be, and who's going to take who at the first, or who the Carolina Panthers are going to take with the number one overall pick. I think that the Baltimore Ravens trade Lamar Jackson before the draft, like we're talking about a day or two before the draft, or on opening night.
Do they even have a high enough pick to draft a quarterback in the first round? What pick are they?
But
I think that's 13. What, 22.
They're not getting a quarterback at 22.
Yeah, it's but possible. No, listen. But it's if you hooker, but, okay, so right now he's what he was hit with a non-exclusive, which means that a team that wants Lamar Jackson, they have to give up two number ones. So with those two number ones, now you have you'll have two, but you can also use future compensation and future drafts as well if you want to do it. But they'll have that the firepower power to be able to move up in a draft to get their guy. I don't see Lamar Jackson playing for the Baltimore Ravens again. It's gone too far. It's Lamar Jackson, not even against, and I said this last week, not just against the Ravens, it's the NFL. How the hell do you have six teams come out and say that need a quarterback, say we're out? We've never seen that before, right? What happened was these owners, these general managers, got in the room and said, look, this isn't about Lamar Jackson. This is about the quarterback market. Because you have, and you can throw that list up again if you want to, Manderville, you have all of these other quarterbacks that are coming up. Do we want to be in a position where we're now getting giving guys 50, 60, $70 million a year? And guess what happens if you do that? And before I move on to my next point, keep that up. Joe Burrow could break the damn, not the bank, but the damn stock exchange if he really wanted to. Joe Burrow can potentially easily go past $50 million a year. So if you got Joe Burrow making, let's say, 55 or 60, Jalen Hurts doing the same, Justin Herbert, who can do it, Lamar Jackson should have already gotten it. If you have these young quarterbacks in position to do that, to push it farther, what do you think is going to happen to the defensive end market? What do you think is going to happen to the left tackle market? What do you think is going to happen to the wide receiver market, right? We saw that last year with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald said, I am the best player in the NFL. I need to be paid as such. And that was a whole thing. Should Aaron Donald be paid quarterback money? I personally think he should have. I personally think he is the best player in the NFL, which means he should be making what Aaron Rodgers is making. So this is bigger than Lamar Jackson. It's not just Lamar Jackson versus the Ravens in the NFL. It's, look, Lamar Jackson and quarterbacks. Because Lamar Jackson on the open market, and this is why, you know, we got into this big debate, and you cooked me because my words wasn't right. You're more of a wordsmith than I am, okay? It's like Deshaun Watson. Like, Deshaun was able to go out there and get what he got because there was a team out there that was quarterback needy, and they were desperate. And I can assure you this. There's other owners out there that's ready to go, right? The Commander's new ownership that's coming in, whether it's Magic Johnson – in his group, or if it's Jeff Bezos. You don't think Jeff Bezos or Magic Johnson wants to come in and win now?
Which is insane to me, because you think about it, the Ravens have the 22nd pick, or the 23rd, was it the 22nd, Corey, in the draft? But I think they also have multiple picks in other rounds via trade. So you had the ammunition to build a team that was conducive to help Lamar Jackson make some noise for you. You had the hardest piece to find, and that is a franchise quarterback. You had that piece. That is like steps ahead of what most teams are trying to find their franchise guy. You had yours. Yeah. You had the picks to build the team. It is so ass backwards that, like, you're doing it the hard way. And now you're talking about potentially drafting a quarterback that's not going to be a Lamar Jackson. Right. Lamar knows that offense. That offense has been constructed around Lamar Jackson. You are unnecessarily starting from zero. It is the most asinine way of constructing a football team that I think I have seen in a very long time. It makes zero sense to me.
Yes and no, Ashley.
And no,
here's why. Because you got to think about the people who are in the rooms. They're not players. They're not fans. They're not even really football guys.
But they're business guys.
Exactly. Thank you. And what does business people look at? The numbers. That's it. KPIs and metrics. Like, what does the data say? That's what all these companies ran. What does the data say? You know what the data says? The data says that when you invest in a quarterback, your team goes to shit, right? Because, and what I mean by go to shit,
do they still like have PTSD contend. From Joe Flacco? Like, I'm confused. What does
it's
that
not,
mean?
It's not because just Joe Flacco. When you put all of your money, and this is an excuse, and it is an excuse. Well, some people look at the numbers, and then there's some people use this at the tape, use this to gain the leverage. But yeah, you seen when the Seattle Seahawks gave Russell Wilson all this money, they weren't able to pay Cam and this guy and that guy, and they had to break up the Legion of Boom. They went from starting off the as a dynasty or potentially becoming a dynasty, back to back Super Bowls, winning a Super Bowl, and now look at them, they're just a good team, right? You look at some of these Super Bowl champions. I believe Patrick Mahomes, when he won his first one, he was under his rookie on his rookie deal.
Okay, but Patrick Mahomes, and we spoke about this when it happened. That was an anomaly. That hardly
it's
ever
not
happened.
Though. It's it, not,
that
listen,
hardly
on.
Ever happens that your rookie quarterback wins you a
hold
Super
on.
Bowl.
Okay, let's say go to the Super Bowl then, because you are right there. But Jalen Hurts was in the Super Bowl last year. Who else was in the Super Bowl the year before? Joe Burrow was in the Super Bowl, right?
But we're also not, but it's also unfair comparisons because look at Joe Burrow, for example. Joe Burrow has done, a lot in the early part of his career with a team that was not conducive for him to win. The offensive line was atrocious. He goes into that front office and says, I need an offensive line. What do? They get him an offensive line. They get him the protection. Patrick Mahomes went into a situation that was constructed beautifully for his success. Jalen Hurts.
But hold on, but see what you just said. It was constructed beautifully. Why? Because they were able to take the resources and the money to invest in those other
But that
positions.
Was pre-Patrick Mahomes. So, like, Patrick Mahomes went into a situation where he was able to shine, and because that team was drastically better than what Lamar has in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Even in Philly, that's a drastic – it's more talent there for Jalen Hurts to make something happen with than Lamar has in Baltimore. So, while, yes, from a business standpoint, you're looking at the numbers, but the numbers also don't tell the whole story. You can't expect someone to make lemonade with apples. Like, you're not giving him the ingredients he needs to make success. Now, this is the same thing. This is the same argument that I had about Tua. When everyone was writing Tua off, I said, but the Dolphins have not surrounded him with the pieces necessary to make him, to help him win. Now, if you do that and he still falls short of the goalpost, then you start looking at it, this may not be our guy, because look at everything he has and he still can't get it done. To rate Lamar's success or lack thereof based on a team that's not conducive to help him win is unfair. So while, yes, the numbers may not 100% be in his favor, there's a bigger story there that constantly gets ignored. What have the Ravens done to make sure that he's in a position to win? They haven't. So you're saying, oh, we're not going to pay this guy in so many words because he hasn't produced. But what have you done to help him produce? Nothing. Yeah. There's two sides to the story. And it's unfair that the brunt of it falls on him when he can't make something happen that's not there.
Yeah. Well, listen, just so I don't get flamed here. I am in full support.
Me too.
Of Lamar Jackson. And I think they should pay him. But that is the argument. Mm-hmm. And that's how they approach it. Right. They look at it that way. Man, we're going to give what 25% of our resources of the cap space go to this one player, right? Can we potentially, right, have a phenomenal coach and have a great defense, right? Everybody wants to go defense. Everybody also understands that, you know, the league is a passing league now. So they're looking at these gurus, and they are looking at quarterbacks, but they're looking at, man, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, some of these guys that were able to do it on their rookie deals because it gives you more flexibility.
And even with Jalen Hurts.
And you know who else did it? The Rams did it too. Remember, they did that with Jared Goff. Jared Goff led them to – they went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, right?
Yes. No,
they
yes.
They went and lost.
Yes, yes. No, right? The Rams won the Super Bowl.
Not with Jared Goff.
Yes, they did.
Jared Goff won it. They didn't win two.
Oh no, I'm sorry. No, Matthew Stafford. Yeah, I'm buying.
But did
I'm
they go? Did they go? Please help
they
me.
They went.
In the
they
chat?
Went with Goff and lost.
You know what?
But they won with Stafford.
Correct. Yeah,
yes,
right.
That's what happened.
He was on his rookie deal, right?
Goff.
I think Goff was on his rookie deal when he led him to the Super Bowl. Can please anybody? You know what?
But I will say, even look at in the situation. Go back to what you said about Jalen Hurts. He was able to do it on his rookie deal. But even Jalen Hurts, and this was one of the things that people said were questioning if he was a franchise quarterback, which was unfair about him too, because the earlier part of Jalen Hurts' career as a rookie, the Eagles did not have the talent for him to succeed with. It wasn't until what? They restructured, built up, that Jalen Hurts was able to cook. So it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me that we have seen what has happened when a rookie quarterback is in a situation where the pieces aren't there and it hinders his success. And then we see what happens when you give him pieces to work with, how it elevates his career and his game. How all of when we talk about the Lamar Jackson situation in Baltimore, everybody forgets those scenarios that we have seen play out time and time again. It's not abnormal. It happened with Jalen Hurts. It happened with Tua. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes was in an anomaly of a situation, but it happens. It's crazy to me that this Lamar Jackson situation, everyone gets amnesia and acts like they've never seen this happen before.
Right.
Yeah.
All right,
guys, moving on. So we're going to go to our next statement. So as you guys know, the Washington Commanders franchise is up for sale, right? And currently the leading bidder is Magic Johnson and also investor Josh Harris. Their group have submitted a bid for $6 billion for the franchise, right? But now, an unnamed person, right, who claims to be very close to Daniel Snyder told Theodore Schlafer of Puck News, if you're telling me that Bezos puts in a bid that's $250 million more than anybody else, Dan won't take that, you're smoking dope. Now, mind you, this is an unnamed person. He said Dan will give Bezos a piggyback ride around the building on opening day next year for an additional $250 million. Again, that'll bring the price to $6.25 billion.
Oof.
Fact or foolish, Jeff Bezos buys the Washington Commanders. They said they'll probably decide on who they'll sell the franchise to by May.
Mm.
So fact or foolish?
Well, I have a question. Can he buy the command? I mean, I don't know what the red tape is, but with Amazon owning Thursday Night Football, can he buy the Commanders?
Oh, that's interesting.
Is that a conflict of interest? Like, how can you own a day of the week of the NFL and also own a team?
That is an interesting question.
So I don't know if that even allows him to be in the running. I mean, I would have to look into that. But I feel like that's a conflict of interest.
It's a great question, but I would think that he wouldn't be able to get this far if that was a conflict, right?
I guess.
But 6.25. Well, I mean, because you can be in business with the NFL. You got Robert Kraft, and a lot of the owners, they have ownership in Fanatics. I think they brought,
but that's
like,
different.
It's not Ticketmaster.
That's not a broadcast part. It's Fanatics
business,
is apparel.
Though.
Yeah, but a Fanatics covers apparel and sports for all sports. So it's not like it's solely an NFL thing. But when we talk about Amazon owning the rights, like, they literally own a day of the week only for the NFL.
Right.
So I don't know how you can own that and also own a team.
Yeah. Another thing to point out here is that all 31 owners have to sign off on the other 31 owners. There's 32 teams, right? So 31 owners have to sign off on this. It's not just the highest bidder. Because there's some people, like, think about this. Saudi money can come in. Somebody right now probably offer them $10 billion, right? Like, got play money over there. But all 31 owners have to sign off on who can come join that fraternity, right?
It's true. You ever watch Billions?
Yeah, that's my favorite show.
Oh, my God. I love Billions.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but our guy's coming back. I'm saying our guy. I didn't say who.
Okay.
But there was if you've never watched Billions, there was a part where Bobby Axelrod's trying to buy, was it the Giants?
Yep.
Or the Jets? One of those New York teams and
New York
teams. Jersey, yeah. And he tries to buy it and he has the funds for it. He raises the additional capital that he doesn't have. It goes to a vote and they say, no, you can't come into this club. And he like freaks out. But that's it's a true story. They can vote you in or they can vote you out.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember like that Jeff Bezos' name been floating around for
a while.
Mm-hmm. It's smart because these owners, they work together. Right, they brought the Walmart family in, the Walton family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're looking at how we make money together, not just in the NFL, but off the field as well. So bringing in Jeff Bezos, we're talking about the number one company globally. You know, they just surpassed Google. Google was the top dog for forever. Amazon and Jeff Bezos, the number one company in the whole wide world. Mm-hmm. This makes a lot of sense for the NFL. It makes a whole lot of sense. So I know his name was floating around for a long time. And so I'm actually curious of why he's not the front runner thus far, because he has the money, obviously. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the owners are already pushing him out, like, no, we don't want to work with him. I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see.
But All right. Champagne problems.
Yeah, right. All right, next one, guys. Now, yesterday, wide receiver Tyreek Hill said that next season he will be the Chiefs' worst enemy when the Dolphins take the trip to Arrowhead in 2023. So, for you guys, I got Tyreek Hill catches at least 2 touchdowns and finishes with 100-plus yards in Arrowhead next season. Fact or foolish?
Man, I'm going to go 2 touchdowns is the tough part. 100 yards, hell, he can have 2 catches and go for 100 yards. They're not a strong defensive team. I like their defensive scheme and what Spags does over there. Spags is the defensive coordinator there. I'm going to say foolish here, Corey, because when you come out and you talk like this, you know, the people on the other side, the goal is to eliminate the distractions and stay focused. Like, I don't care if you have 300 yards as long as we get the win. Mm-hmm. But you're also a competitor. You think Spags, the defensive coordinator, is going to hear this talk for the next 6 months before they play and not take it personal? You don't think the guys on the other side of that ball is going to take it personal? I see Spags potentially doubling him and scheming up to take Tyreek out. But what happens is, and this is going to be interesting, this should be a good bet for people. This should be like a prop bet on like FanDuel or something. Because if you, and this is what makes the Miami Dolphins dangerous, if you take him out, who do you have on the other side? You have Waddle. Mm-hmm. Waddle could crush you and kill you, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, that's a problem. That's what makes this team so special. And both guys went for 1,300-plus yards and 10 touchdowns. Because if I'm on this side and you got to see me, you got to double me, he's going to get off. Pause. Why you always get on me when I say pause?
I don't, because that's not a pause.
It's not. How do you do pause?
I mean, I'm a girl. I don't have to hit pause. But, like, I don't think that was a pause. He's going to get off? Like, what? Is that a pause?
Sometimes when you pause yourself, you can kind of hurt yourself because then you kind of turn it into a pause.
Yeah, you made it into a pause. It wasn't a pause. You kind of turned it into a pause.
Well, this is all new to me.
Because, like, I'm like, pause. Like, you got to hit up Cameron and get pause 1-on-1.
Yeah, because, like, I'm secure. You're not doing it right. Like, yeah, this is new to me, like, literally over the last couple weeks because I'm securing my man.
So then why are you hitting pause?
Like, if I walk up to you, Corey, I'm like, yo, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I say something and I'm sharing my feelings, that's what it is. Like, I don't got to say pause. Like, why I got to do all of that?
Nobody telling you to hit pause. You're the one who keeps saying pause. Like all of a sudden. That was never your thing. Why are you starting to say it if you don't feel like you need to say it?
It's too funny.
I don't know.
You feel peer pressured to say pause?
Yeah, I do.
Zach got you saying pause now?
I know. Yeah, right. But anyways, I'm going to go foolish because of the 2 touchdowns. The 2 mm-hmm. touchdowns is the hard thing to do, mm-hmm. right? The 2 touchdowns is the hard thing to do. So I'm gonna go foolish here, but it'll be close.
What you got, Ashley?
Yeah, I'm gonna go foolish too. I mean, it's hard. I appreciate the trash talk, though. I like it. It's just hard. I feel like for one of two reasons: one, him catching at least 2 touchdowns is contingent on Tua getting them to him, so that's one. And then also, whenever you try to have that kind of a game against a former team, they know your game. Mm-hmm. They know how to shut your game down. Mm-hmm. So it's always hard having those type of, like, standout performances against a team that knows what you're going to do. It's like basketball.
He don't got no weaknesses, though.
I know, but I'm saying your team, like, the team you're across the field, your defense across the field from you, the coaches on the sideline from you, like, they know what you're going to do for most of the part. It's just like the NBA. Like, if Ty Lue knows that LeBron's going to go to his left if, you know, he's in a certain way, or he's going to go to his right, or he's going to take, like, you know. So you have to be a little bit more creative. So I think it's going to be a lot harder for him to get off than he thinks. Mm. I think he'll have. I think he still has a great game, though. I just don't know if it's going to be those exact.
So hold on. TJ Strickland said, "How many times will B say pause today? Put a counter up there."
He's already said it twice. No,
it's definitely at least twice.
Yeah, you said twice.
And then Jamal Armstrong, he said that was for show a pause moment. I agree
because you said, "What did you say?"
I mean, I said, "What did I?"
It was something.
He's going to get off.
Oh, yeah, get off. Like, that's he's going to get off. Like,
come on. How was that a pause?
If we got to say pause to that, like, come on.
That's, right.
Like, dudes get off all the time.
Pause. See what I'm saying?
Pause. You know what I'm saying? But like, yo. Yo, we got. Hey, that was funny.
Yo, I kind of like this pause thing.
Hey, it's whatever.
Where I've been. How long pause been around?
Oh, it's been around since I was a kid. So for real? It's got to be longer than that.
How long pause been around?
For real?
Did he actually invent
it? I don't know if he invented it, but it came out of
Harlem. Cam invented
pause? No, it came out of Harlem, though. I think Cam popularized it, but it's been in Harlem, like in New York in general. Dude's been saying that my entire life. Yeah. But I think he like popularized it for like the general public.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a thing in New York for like ever.
Definitely. I didn't know Cam invented pause.
He didn't invent it. I think he popularized it.
Wow. Yeah. Shout out to Cam. If he was a smart businessman, and he's very smart and very savvy, but this could be like a huge miss on him. He didn't trademark pause. He should have trademarked pause.
Definitely shouldn't have.
Why are you looking like that?
Because it's just I'm just sitting here how you're gonna start saying pause after everything.
Yeah, I'm getting into this pause thing. Pause.
All right, so let's do our next fact or foolish statement. 49ers get involved in Aaron Rodgers trade talks. Fact or foolish?
Pause. That's a pause.
That's not a pause.
That is a pause. Like, let's slow down here.
That's a literal pause.
I got him. That's a pause. Like, pause. Slow down. Come on. You just said that you going with Purdy. Y'all got y'all quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers got it. He's the one that decides if who can get in the conversation or not. He already said he's going to the Jets.
He ain't there yet.
Pause.
All right.
He ain't there yet. That's a pause.
I don't have to say pause. I'm a girl.
So girls can't get participate in pause?
I don't know any woman who's ever had to pause herself.
So why'd you pause me 3 weeks ago?
I was just messing with you. I was pausing you. I don't have to pause myself.
So are you going to pause or not pause?
Like, I'm not going
to. What's the rules?
Okay, I don't have to pause. Right, so I'm not going to pause. Out of the pause. What?
You're out of it then.
I'm not pausing.
You started the pause on this show.
And I'm not going to pause when he says he's not there yet. That's not a pause. Like, he's not there yet. The Jets and Green Bay, for whatever reason, they're at a standstill right now. It hasn't happened. And until it's official, anybody can come in and make things interesting.
Can't.
So
no,
why
can't.
Not? You don't think Aaron Rodgers, if the opportunity came and he was like, they were like, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to pick between the 49ers and the Jets. You don't think he would entertain Niners?
He's already had those discussions. He's already sat back in the darkness retreat and said, like, do I want to go here? His offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, is where? He's in New Jersey. His wide receiver, Alan Lazard, is where? He's in New Jersey. He went out there, gave him a whole master list. Here's the guys that I would love to play with if they're available. Like, it's not
the only thing. The only thing that stops the 49ers from getting involved with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they have the money. I mean, it's there is a salary cap. I know, in a perfect world, it doesn't exist. But
they still have to pay.
I don't think they have it yet. They don't have the cash to afford Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so let's fast forward. Let's move on because that definitely was a pause.
All right, next one, guys. Ron Rivera is on the hot seat in Washington. Fact or foolish?
Fact. I mean, he's a great coach.
Is he?
Great leader. Yeah. Let me tell you why.
He's not a team that's expected to win anything. What is he supposed to do? Create a miracle?
What does new owners want? New regimes want? They want their people.
Oh.
They want their people, right? Like, he's respected. If he wants to coach, let's say if it didn't end well there, if he wants to coach again, he will be able to coach again because he's well respected. He's a great leader. And he knows ball. But you don't have. They want to see it right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's the general manager and the head coach right now. That's what people fail to realize when we talk about the Commanders and Ron Rivera. He's the one that decided the quarterbacks. He's the one that decides what to do in free agency. So it all falls on him. So if you go 3-4 years in a terrible situation, you're out of there. That's the name of the game.
Yeah.
It's inevitable.
Well, I'm glad you say that he's the head coach, he's the GM, because we had a question earlier, and one of the fan questions was, why does Ron Rivera not want Cam Newton?
Pause. That's a pause. Want another man? Like, and I mean, it's preference, like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to be disrespectful to nobody's community, but, like, That is. It can be like
that's not a pause. Oh, there, men want men. Women want women. Women want
yeah,
men.
Yeah, but the whole pause thing is a whole like that's what I'm trying to figure out. So, but anyways, all right, I'm done with the pause thing. I'm getting back to pause is literal to me now. Look, he knows Cam Newton, right? Mm-hmm. He knows Cam Newton, and it could be two things, right? It could be one, their relationship wasn't great towards the end, maybe, or, you know, because it's relationship based. And two, maybe he just doesn't think that he can contribute to his team anymore, right? Maybe that's he don't think he's part of the 32. That's it. I mean, that's just my thoughts.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, next one, guys. Now, FanDuel, right, on their app, has the Chargers line at 9.5 games won for next season. So I got to ask you guys, Los Angeles Lakers win at least 10 games next season.
Chargers or Lakers?
I ain't say Lakers, did I?
Yes.
I said Lakers again?
Yes, bro.
You got the Lakers, Sergeant? What's up with you and the Lakers?
I said that earlier.
What's up with you and the Lakers?
Did you say the Los Angeles Warriors?
No, you said the Golden State Lakers.
Golden State Lakers.
What's up with you and the Lakers, Corey? You got something on your chest you need to get off? No,
Los Angeles Chargers win 10
plus games. Are you sad about the internal struggle? You want to have a therapy session real quick?
Right, for real. I've been looking at and researching the Lakers so much. Anyways, Los Angeles Chargers win at least 10 games next season. Fact or foolish?
Listen, when you have Khalil Mack, you have one of the Bosa brothers. I don't know their names, their first names.
Is it in Joey?
Yeah, you have one of the Bosa brothers.
Because no, Nixon.
And you have that guy,
yeah,
Justin.
Joey's in
and you have Allen at wide receiver. Man, yes, this is fact.
They should.
It's time. I'm going fact here, Ashley.
I'm going fact with the talent that they have. And if they don't, you got to start questioning why.
And then you have Brandon Staley, right? A lot of people thought that Brandon Staley should have been fired. He survived. You know, so a coach to be able to last a couple years is a good thing in my eyes because you can learn a lot from your the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's actually a good coach. And I think he should be who he naturally is, and that's an aggressive play caller. He's going for it on fourth down. But when you start taking the outside noise and you start questioning yourself, you make dumb decisions. So if he can actually go into this year with confidence and more comfort, this team could be in position to contend.
Mm. Well, it looks like y'all need to hop on the FanDuel Sportsbook app then and place that bet. Both of y'all can win some money. 9.5 games.
Ashley ain't going to do it.
9.5 games, again, is what the sportsbook has them at.
Over.
But how about we give some people some more picks and hop on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So what we're going to do is actually look at a game that we got tonight. We got the Miami Heat and we got the Philadelphia 76ers. So we got, of course, the MVP, you know, hopeful Joel Embiid on the team, and he's actually one of the picks that we got. So let's look at our same game parlay. Brandon, who you're telling me about the picks, who you got?
All right, so here you go. You got a same game parlay, four selections, four legger here. Joel Embiid over 31.5. Yes, I like this. This is going to hit. This is an interesting one. I'm gonna take the over. I like this, but he already feels like it's night-night, right? He said that after the last game. He said, I am now the MVP. The discussion's over. Hopefully, he doesn't chill. I think the only thing that we have to pull from is him coming out saying that we have bigger plans, and that's obviously meaning he wants to win it all. So I like this here. I think he continues to put pressure, apply pressure. The 76ers, I like this. Jimmy Butler can have a night, Ashley. Mm-hmm. You know, he's due for a 40-point night, isn't he? He's due, but I like the 76ers turning it up here. James Harden on the over, absolutely. I think you're going to see James Harden. Actually, if it was 25, I would take the points. And Jimmy Butler, four assists, yes, for sure. Mm. He'll get that easy. He might get that in the first half.
Didn't Embiid have like 50 points his last game?
He did.
I don't know if I'd take that over. Coming off of a 50-point game.
Tired. So what, he's going to be tired? What is this thing? What's this thing where a guy has one good night and he can't have another game.
The 76ers game? Already, their playoffs are, the playoff spots are already solidified. So it's not like they're pushing for a spot. I think they had this game and they have one other game. I think that's it for them, right? They have two games left with this one. My playoff spot already solidified. If what I have done throughout the course of the season is not enough for me to win MVP, screw it. I'm in playoff mode. I don't give a damn.
So you're
I don't need to win these two. I'm already in.
So like, you're low clinch, managing.
Good. I'm out there putting up some work, getting some cardio, but I ain't stressing myself to beat the Miami Heat. They need the win, not me. Why would I stress myself out for that?
You're a load manager.
Well, look.
That's not load management. There's two games left. We're about to go into the playoffs. Do you think I'm going to exhaust myself to get a 50-point game against the Miami Heat?
Here's where they're at, though. So two games left. They don't have a chance. Well, yeah, they could move to the second seed. Boston Celtics, they're right there. They're not going to catch the Bucks. They're 5.5. Games behind the Bucks, and then you have the Cleveland Cavaliers. No, they're good. Ashley might be right here, but I'm
chilling.
I like that 4-leg parlay.
I mean, I don't mind it, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Embiid just kind of being casual out there. He's in playoff mode. They did their job. They made sure that they handled business. So come this point, they can start getting into a little bit of like cruise control before they rev up the jets again. Miami's the one trying to claw their way into a situation.
Right. Well, to Ashley's point, NBA season's coming down to the wire, and there's no better place to bet than on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. The app is safe, secure, easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. And, of course, when you win, you get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, overs, unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. So jump into action at any time during the game, also with live betting. So download the FanDuel app today or head to FanDuel.com/IAA and make every moment count. We'll be right back after this disclaimer. Disclaimer, 21 plus in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP. Louisiana, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit www.mahelpline.org/problem-gambling. Massachusetts, visit www.mdgamblinghelp.org. Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. New York, 1-800-522-4700. Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net. West Virginia.
Here we go. We're live and we're back. Corey, I need more hydration. My lips are feeling better. Mm. They were so dark, like smoker's lips yesterday. Uh-huh. And I'm not a smoker. Give me a hydration.
You should have been sipping on your Element. I had it right here with me. I got the raspberry salt today.
No, this is one.
I like that one. Gimme.
Raspberry salt is the best, honestly. So, yeah, let me get you one raspberry
You're
salt.
You're into it now?
I like the raspberry salt one. That's my favorite flavor.
How much water do you drink a day?
A lot.
You get an Element.
How much?
Come on,
that was a bad throw. You get an Element.
Come on.
That was a better one. I needed to warm up, I guess.
Corey, we had this debate. So everybody watching, we had this debate about like water. Corey
doesn't drink
a gallon a day. But he's like, I get my electrolytes. So Corey has filled the facility up, our studio up with electrolytes. So I carry around this jug. Russell Wilson is the one. What are you doing?
I'm modeling it.
Russell Wilson is the one that actually inspired me to carry a jug, right? Because as a human being, you have to know that your body is made up of 70% water. If you want to function at a high level, you have to hydrate, right? So Russell Wilson was the first one that used to walk around the facility with this gallon jug. And so I was like, that makes more sense. So I'm not like Corey and Ashley walking around with these 12 ounces, 6 ounces, 16 ounces bottles, right? Like, it's just more efficient here. I know by 6 p.m. if I get this down, I'm right on track. And then I might have a couple glasses of water to end the night. That's my nightcap. And then Corey had the bright idea, said, why don't you add electrolytes, right? And so, Corey, that was very smart of you to push me and challenge me to have my electrolytes. Ashley, good show today. Good week.
Good week.
You feel good about the first 6 weeks?
We had a really good week. A really great week. I'll use great. Great week.
Great week. So listen, guys, subscribe. There's a statistic out there that says that 70% of everyone on YouTube don't subscribe to their favorite channels. If we happen to be one of your favorite channels, because you can have multiple favorite channels, please hit the subscribe button. Also, dibble and dab through our channel. We got so many cool things happening. You know what I want? I'm going to take a little time and just describe what we're doing. Let me tell you what I Am Athlete is. Paper Route is our daily show. Paper Route's our daily show. We want to participate in sports conversations. This is 70% sports, 30% evergreen culture, fashion, all those other things, some politics. The weekly show is 70% evergreen. Those aren't interviews. Those are conversations. We want to sit down and have that type of dynamic conversation to talk about anything and that's going on in the world. And we hit 30% sports. Okay. We have the tour that we're going to bring back 2.0. Ooh. Ashley, what cities are you excited about? Or can you give me a couple cities that you
maybe? I'd love to do New Orleans.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite cities in the country. I'd love to do Dallas, obviously. Mm. I'd love to do New York, my hometown. Mm. Arizona was cool. I liked AZ.
Yep.
It was my first. Denver would be cool. I know you frequent going up there.
What about Vegas?
Vegas would be dope, but I mean, we have to stop in Chicago.
Chicago would be dope. What about London?
I've always wanted to go to London. I like London accents.
You haven't been to London? You know there's a huge...
But I do love me some Skepta, so...
Skepta, the artist. Yeah. Oh, they got a dope scene Skepta. Over there, a hip-hop scene
I'd
over
love
there.
To go to London.
Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, Miami.
Oh, we got to do Miami, obviously. Orlando, Jacksonville.
There's, it's going to be interesting that we have that going
we
on.
We should do the brand... We should do a tour everywhere Brandon Marshall played. That's so we should go Seattle, Chicago, New Orleans, New Jersey, Miami.
You know what else we have?
Denver.
Do you guys understand what OTG is? OTG means on the go. On the go gives us the ability to take one camera, sit in front of Patrick Mahomes, Rihanna, even Angel. Was a part of On the Go. We actually took more equipment. We took the entire team to make sure we got that first sit down. But On the Go gets us out of the studio. Mm-hmm. It helps, allows us to be faster. So I'm excited about On the Go. That's the thing that excites me the most about our platform outside of like the Daily Show. I think this is cool to do this every single day. But On the Go is so much fun. If you had one camera, you had one microphone.
If I had one,
and you had a private plane right now, Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you can go sit down with anybody in the whole wide world, on the go. Who would it be?
Barack Obama.
What would be your first question?
Who would win 1-on-1, you or Brandon Marshall?
Oh, no. Hey, Obama got a strap.
No, I would.
Yo, so that means you got to take me on a trip, and then he and I got to play 1-on-1. Who do you think will win 1-on-1?
Barack Obama would cook you.
He's 70.
Barack Obama is not 70.
See how old Barack Obama is. He's definitely.
He got moves.
Barack Obama.
He got to be pushing 70.
He's 61.
That's not 70.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question since you want to be so real right now. Who you like winning the race, me or T.O.?
Oh, definitely you.
Okay, cool.
Because I know you've been here training. I know you've been getting your body, your mind, your spirit, your mental, everything right. I'm definitely putting my money on you. I'm in that regard. I will be here front and center, doing my analyst work. But I definitely think that you're going to go ahead and
we got another question for Ashley too. It was another fam question.
Another one?
Before yeah. Okay. Romo or Dak?
Ooh. Ooh.
Romo had a mean spin game, man. He could get out of any situation.
He was like, slippery in the pocket.
He was slippery. Yeah. Because of that, I take Romo.
Yeah.
I think one of my things about Dak that kind of drives me nuts is that he's not as quick to make a decision in the pocket. Romo used to like see it coming, nobody's open, I'm a spin, I'm gonna buy us some more time. Mm-hmm. Dak tends to take a little bit more time to make a choice, which sometimes puts us in bad predicaments when it comes to possessions. So for that reason, I'm taking Romo. Mm-hmm.
Y'all follow UFC at all too? To change subjects a little bit?
I do.
I'm going to the fight.
Izzy or Pereira this weekend?
Izzy, I'm going to the fight.
Yeah.
Are you?
You wanna go?
I'm gonna be at a bachelorette. One of my best friends is getting married, so I won't be there.
You wanna go, Corey?
I'm going to be in Dubai, man.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's the show.
Well, it's like we went in order. I'm going to be in a bachelorette. Right. I'm going to go. You want to go? I'm going to be in Dubai. Well, excuse the hell out of me. Okay. Well, screw it.
Hey, I just had to be honest and be true for that.
Flex.
Jesus.
What are you looking to getting into? Pause.
He said, "Look at
did I ever tell you guys
honestly,
the funny
thing? Honestly, I'm really looking forward to like four wheeling. I know that's like super basic to do when you go over there, but like four wheeling like in the desert.
Oh, like ATVs and whatever.
Yeah. So we're gonna be in Dubai, and then we're also gonna take like that hour trip up to Abu Dhabi. So we're gonna do that too.
That was dope. Have you been to Dubai? I know you said there was people that
had a chance to go when I was in college, but I wasn't gonna do that. So
you want to tell the people what happened?
So when I was in college, this was during like that era of like this was like prime IG model era. So this is like before it was like a popular thing. It's like Miami was really the only city in the country that had like IG models. Everyone else was just didn't know what that was. And like these Dubai princes and sheiks or whatever would like reach out to girls and DM them to like come and a lot of girls would do it. Now I was a broke college student. I think at the time I was a sophomore. I was still on campus. And I got a DM from like this like handler of like a sheik or a prince or whatever. They offered me $500,000 to go to Dubai. $250,000 up front once I got on the plane, the private jet, and then $250,000 when I got back, like when I was on the jet heading back to the States. Now I'm a broke college student. I'm eating ramen. I'm studying for some stupid final. And I'm like, damn, that's a lot of money. I'm like sitting there. I'm like, I've seen Taken at this point. Like, I'm like, I'm probably not going to come back. You know, who's going to rescue me if like something goes wrong? And then there was like all these stories about like what they do to these girls, like when they go over there for the money and like it's not, you know, innocent. And I was like, it's probably not worth it. So I never actually did it. So I've never been to Dubai, but I came close. I was contemplating, but I was like, I don't know in Liam Neeson. I may not come back.
I think you made a good decision.
I might not be here sitting talking to you.
I know, right, but let me ask Corey this question. Uh-huh. Your lady, you got a girlfriend right now?
I do not.
You do not?
Single.
Ladies, say it into the camera, Corey. Say it one more time.
Single as a dollar bill.
And he exfoliate his lips.
All that.
Skincare. He's all that.
And he uses Clean and Clear. He got to get better. But look, right?
Corey, things is up for you right now.
Yes, sir.
You know, you're going to Dubai. You are leading this show. More visibility means more opportunities. Agreed. So you're going to find a one here soon. Or maybe it's just someone you're kicking it with. Say you're really, really, really into her. And someone slides in her DM and is like, yo, $500,000. Come to Dubai.
Hey, yo.
Do you say, babe, take it? Or do you say, nah, you can't do it?
Are you saying that this is my woman and she gets a DM?
It doesn't even have to be your girlfriend. It could be a girl you're kicking with, you have feelings for. Y'all may or may not enter that territory. But right now, like, you vibing it.
I got an easy answer for y'all. Mm-hmm. The number one rule in a relationship for me is respect. Mm. Now, you answer the question of if that's, like, respectful.
But she's asking you. She's not doing it in secret. She's asking you.
No, yeah, right. Yeah, right. No, it's not happening.
But respect means something.
Brandon's gonna tell his girl, go out there and make me that money, honey.
Cool, yeah, that money coming in other ways.
Like, I'm gonna see you when you get back, baby.
That money coming in other ways. I ain't gonna sell my girl for $500,000.
So let me ask you this question. So what if somebody slid in your DM and they said we got 500
for me?
Oh, if it shoot, I'm baby, cool. go make that money. Yo, come back. What? I'll see you in a few days.
Yo, that's just a weird situation. I'm glad I wasn't put in that situation.
But no, yeah, let's say you are.
Yeah, no, and hypothetically, yeah, no, like I'm good.
You're not taking the 500?
No.
Why?
Because that money coming in another way. That's good. I'm cool.
But I'm saying it's just a trip to Dubai. You're already going to Dubai right now. You paying for it, but I'm giving you 500.
It sound like it's just a trip to Dubai. Yeah.
No, but it's not. It's with a female, like, well, now princess it's, or now it's like whatever.
Too good to be true. Now, if I can, that's basically like, all right, you want a check for $500,000 and a
no,
trip
but
to
you
Dubai
gotta go. You it? Have to go over to Dubai and do and be what a sheik would want with an IG model, or like the sheik wanted with
yeah,
me.
I gotta know what
the
trade-off
weekend,
is at this point. Yeah.
You're his woman. You're her man for the weekend and whatever. Like, and you come back after you get on that flight Monday, heading back to the States, and you have $500,000 in your bank account.
Y'all want me to say yes so bad?
I'm telling you right now. If like we were dating and you came to me with that, I'd be like, I'm gonna see you in a few days, yo. Corey. Go handle your business, honey. I'm gonna see you. Make sure you hit me when you land, so I know you okay.
Hey,
we have a code word, so in case anything went wrong, I would call the U.S. Embassy to come get you.
Another phenomenal week on Paper Route. Great job, Corey. Great job, Ashley, the entire team, and thank you to all of our subscribers and all of you guys that's rocking with us. You know, we have the tour that's coming back. We have content on the go. Hopefully you guys are enjoying that. The weekly show, we're just getting started, warming up. We got some cool names that we're talking to, some cool athletes and artists that we're talking to sit with us. So just want to say thank you guys for rocking with us. And, you know, look, we've been here for almost 3 years now, and I truly believe we're just now getting started. So all of your feedback, we see it. We're, you know, I hear it. We're listening. Brandon, you keep cutting off people. You talk too much. I hear you. I get it. All right. We know what you guys like. We know what you guys don't like. So continue to be bold and send any suggestions. We'll see you guys Monday here on Paper Route. We have a big show coming for you this Monday coming up. And then following that, we're back on Paper Route Live. So make sure you guys stay after the show on Monday and watch us live, because we got a big show for you. Right, Corey?
Absolutely.
See you tomorrow. See you next week. Peace.